各位嘉賓大家午安，就啱啱今日就係2月20號啦，咁我哋知第19次嘅全體大會，過咗農曆年都係10日到啦，咁我向大家拜個晚年，就祝大家新年萬事勝，身體健康嚇。咁仲有呢，就聽日就係元宵佳節，我哋中國人嘅情人節，咁祝大家亦都有個好愉快嘅元宵佳節。就我哋今日嘅議程大家都收到啦，就先同大家有少少 background briefing。 我哋HC 嘅其中一個成員就係保護海港協會啦， Society for Protection of Harbour， 就佢哋就新近呢就換咗佢哋嘅常任嘅代表，咁其實就係我哋嘅老友啊 Paul Zimmerman， 咁或者請阿 Amy 我哋嘅 secretary 咧，就同大家簡單報告一下呢件換代表嘅情況，好嗎？
唔該，主席。咁喺1月底嘅時候咧，秘書處就收到保護海港協會嘅來信，就要求更改佢哋喺 HCC 嘅成員代表嘅。咁我哋就已經得到發展局局長嘅同意，咁所以就已經通知咗保港會。咁今日應該Mr. Simon 咧應該會嚟開會，咁我哋都已經更正咗我哋網頁上面嘅資料嘅。
咁就根據保護海港協會的提議呢，日後呢就是阿 Paul 就是他們的常任的代表，咁在 Subcommittee 和 Task Group Level 呢，就阿 Vincent 那個 Subcommittee on Harbour Plan Review， 即是海港計劃檢討小組委員會呢，他們的常任的代表就是 Dennis Lee， 咁阿 Paul Zimmerman 就是 Alternate。咁啊，至到阿黃澤恩做 chairman 嗰個 convener 嗰個環新海濱城市設計研究專責小組咧，由 Paul Zimmerman 就係做常任代表，阿 Dennis Lee 就係 alternate。咁啊，另外有一個 task group 咧，就係呢個海濱管理模式專責小組咧，就我做 convener 嘅咧，就係 Dennis Lee 咧，就係常任嘅代表，Zimmerman 就係後alternate 咁樣。咁喺呢度就都請我哋 HCC 嘅全體大會咧，就通過即係接受呢、這個保護海港協會有關呢、這個佢哋代表嘅安排。唔知大家有冇咩意見？如果冇，咁我哋就同意呢、這個安排。咁喺度咧就我哋咧就亦都好想咧趁呢個機會咧，就記錄在案咧，我哋好多謝佢哋上一任嘅代表哈迪洛當年來嘅貢獻。大家記得，即係以前咧一路都係哈迪咧係佢哋嘅上任代表嘅。OK， 咁我哋跟住就進入我哋嘅正常嘅會議嘅程序。咁今次咧喺啲會議記錄啊，同埋啲工作小組報告之前咧，我哋有一個特別嘅安排咧，就請咗兩個團體咧嚟同大家做個 briefing。咁就第一個咧，如果大家睇翻嗰個會議嗰個 agenda 咧，就第一個咧就係我哋請到 Retail Development Consultant RDC 嘅 Mr. Dick Grove。佢咧其實就係呢個 Central Waterfront Design Competition， 大家記得咧，就先幾個月咧就 Designing Hong Kong 就組織咗一次Central Waterfront Design Competition 嘅，咁啊當時有四個group 咧就入咗圍，咁當日咧就係阿 Paul Zimmerman， 大家講嘈嘈嘈都話到啦，知道咁咧就當日咧，阿 Paul 咧就介紹咗佢哋嗰個 Central Waterfront Design Competition， 同 埋嗰個四個入選嘅團隊，咁其中一個咧就係呢個 Retail Development Consultant。咁今日咧就呢個 RDC 嘅Mr. Dick Grove 咧就會嚟同大家做一個 briefing。咁呢個 request 收到之後咧，我哋都 circulate 過俾我哋嘅 membership， 咁大家都表示咧樂意咧喺 briefing 嗰度咧聽下Mr. Dick Grove 呢一個咁嘅 briefing。咁所以我哋今日就安排咗呢樣。咁或者我哋轉轉台啦。We warmly welcome you, Mr. Dick Grove, to the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee. Thanks for offering to brief us on your work related to central waterfront design. Please proceed with your PowerPoint presentation or whatever you have. Okay, thank you.
Can you hear me? I very much appreciate your giving me this opportunity to present a proposal regarding the conceptualization of Central Waterfront. I appear before you as an individual citizen with some applicable experience who has been trying to contribute to the successful development of Central Waterfront, which I describe as the world's most important urban development site at present. A uniquely large and prominent waterfront set against the backdrop of one of the world's most recognizable and spectacular cityscapes. I have made my proposal twice previously in editorials in the South China Morning Post. Briefly stated, my proposal concerns process. I believe the focus thus far has been on design, but form should follow function. That is, a good design begins with the right concept. My proposal, then, is that we fix the process now. Put concept development ahead of design, determine the software, then the hardware, in order to realize the site's enormous potential. What do I mean by concept? My first editorial addressed this in raising three questions. First, what do we want to do at Central Waterfront? Eat, play, exercise, shop, live, work? Who are we? Locals, tourists, families, yuppies? Then, and only then, what facilities will we require? Open-air restaurants, enclosed retail, low-rise hotels, offices, apartments, etc. By concept, I mean what I term commercial concept or development concept. I contrast this to what I term concept, which is more a theoretical concept. And here I've shown two examples. The emerald necklace that was part of our submission for the Design Hong Kong competition, and the amphibian carpet that was also part of the competition. I also contrast the commercial concept to concept design, one of the products of the standard architectural process. In a commercial concept, in defining developing a commercial concept, we would identify activities and experiences, identify audiences, operators, or end users, propose an overarching vision, seeking to create a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts, look at relevant benchmarks, seek end-user input, and check preliminary feasibility. Importantly, the commercial concept would allow us to produce a design program that specifies uses and areas, anchor requirements, all in the context of the opportunities and constraints of the site. This, in turn, can drive an informed design process. So at the bottom, I've contrasted the two. I said the cases on the left are really cases where you're in ready, fire, aim mode. And on the right, we're ready, aim, fire. There are many examples where letting the design run ahead without a sound commercial concept has spelled disaster. One obvious case was the Millennium Dome in London. 10 years after it opened, or 10 years after it went under development, they've now spent about 350 million additional pounds to effectively build a building inside the building. In other words, they could have skipped doing the dome in the first place and built the arena that now is the driver for the project. Just a brief note about my background. I'm a retail development specialist. I've been working for about 25 years. In that time, I've worked in 22 countries. I've shown two projects here that relate to Central Waterfront. One, I was involved in work on Sony Center, which was in the area, the regeneration area of Central Berlin. Following that, I also worked on a waterfront project, Aqua City, which was part of Tokyo's Odaiba waterfront. More recently, I was regional director for retail for Jones Lang LaSalle for several years. In that capacity, I consulted on many, many projects. Invariably, I would arrive at projects in markets like China or India after the developer had already done schematic design and was interested in how we were going to make the project commercial. So I've had many instances where I've been trying to get the concept back in front of the design. I practice what I preach. This is a project I worked on most of last year called Dubai Pearl. It's a strategically important project in Dubai. In the upper left-hand corner, they had a terrible design that had no commercial foundation. We spent months studying it and coming up with a sound commercial concept. At that point, we were able to go out and bid it to a number of world-class architects and come up with a great design that I think will be one of the icons in the world. I don't have that much regard for what goes on in Dubai, but this will be an outstanding project. I think it will be easiest if I make my proposal by reviewing the work I did during the recent Designing Hong Kong competition. First, though, here is my proposal for fixing the process. And this is actually essentially what I wrote in the recent editorial in the South China Morning Post. I'll just go through these briefly. I apologize. I wasn't quite sure what the projection facilities were here. And you'll see I've put hundreds of pictures in my presentation. And with any luck, you'll be able to kind of catch on to what I'm talking about. I had three main recommendations towards fixing the process. First is simply to commit and organize to fix the process. And I'll use the pronoun we. We should commit and organize to fix the process without specifying who the we is. Second is that we adopt a blueprint for the entire harbor. The third, in two parts. First, that we allocate part, say 30% of total development to the types of high-profile public uses that distinguish great waterfronts, and that we task a blue ribbon creative panel to develop an outstanding scheme for that 30%. Second, that we envision the remaining 70% as a great low-rise, low-density streetscape, and that we hire a team of top urban planners to work with the authorities to plan that section properly. I also have some secondary recommendations that we encourage competition and innovation by master planning a large number of development parcels, that we avoid reinventing the wheel by contracting the production of a comprehensive and detailed benchmarking study of leading urban waterfronts, and that we also avoid reinventing the wheel by reaching out to major waterfront authorities to benefit from their experience and lessons learned. As I was introduced, I was part of the team with RTKL and UDPC in the Design Hong Kong competition. This was our design. It was known as the Emerald Necklace. This is my contribution to that effort. Effectively, I was standing in as the developer, providing the designers the concept and design program requirements that they theoretically needed. I followed a simplified process to start with, just if I hope you can see this, but it reads from left to right: hypothesis, benchmarks, program ideas, interviews, and ends with preliminary concept and preliminary design program. My hypothesis was that Central Waterfront should be a great urban waterfront, not, as some were suggesting, our answer to Central Park. I referred to it as our front door or gateway, a cosmopolitan urban district that extends the city's energy to the water's edge. In writing that, I was already thinking of waterfronts I knew, waterfronts that I felt could serve as benchmarks for Central Waterfront. These included Baltimore Harbor Place, Darling Harbor in Sydney. And I apologize, I hope you can see these pictures. A Tackle Bay Wharf, which is an anchor to Darling Harbor in Sydney. Boat Quay and Clark Quay in Singapore. And of great note, the South Bank in London, which has seen a remarkable resurgence in the last 10 years. And then two affiliated projects. As a retail specialist, I was very concerned when I used to read about the, what was it called, the ground scraper, and think that we might see another shopping center in Central, knowing that we already have IFC Landmark and Pacific Place and Queensway Plaza and many other shopping centers. But all great waterfronts have at their heart collections of restaurants. So I went out and looked at two other benchmarks, two remarkable projects, one Xintiandi in Shanghai, and then Greenbelt in Manila, both of which have anywhere between 40 and 60 restaurants and could serve as benchmarks for something that could be very, very critical to the success of Central Waterfront. Next, considering the 30% allocation for the high-profile public uses, I started inventorying what I referred to as program ideas, looking at those benchmarks and looking at component parts that might apply to our situation. Before I proceed, I want to just make one note about the benchmarks that I showed. 99% of what you see in this presentation are photos I've taken myself, so I've seen all of these projects, and I know something about them, but I'm not suggesting that this represents a benchmarking exercise. What I'm proposing is something far more extensive, where projects are actually studied, the people that develop them are met, and an extensive discussion follows as to what's been successful and what's been problematic about the projects. Again, looking at the 30% allocation, I started by looking at what I term anchors, major attractions that could define and activate our waterfront. And just looking across that range of projects and other waterfront projects, you can see a list here, anything from aquariums, science centers, maritime museums, to concert halls, theaters, to amusement parks and sports stadiums. I think I've shown a total of 15 here that could be plausible anchors for a waterfront. And I considered other possibilities, looking at questions that might lead to ideas for a Central Waterfront. First, can we restore Queen's Pier and the Star Ferry Clock Tower, looking at our past and future? Could P2 become a boulevard that rivals Orchard Road in Singapore or along the bottom, the Kurfürstendamm in Berlin? And there are many other examples, the Mate Sando in Tokyo or the Champs-Élysées, many examples that you could look at of tree-lined boulevards with large sidewalks, alfresco dining, places where people collect and enjoy themselves. What can we do at the water's edge? How might we create a striking feature for our waterfront using trees, especially given Hong Kong's great ability to support, I think there are 400 species of trees that grow here, so it could be a remarkable asset for the waterfront. Anyone that's been to Singapore and driven in from Changi Airport and can picture the trees that cover the road there may have an idea of what I'm thinking about. Restaurants, again, this would be the linchpin in any scheme for a major waterfront. Can we feature boats? Should we include a park that can accommodate major events similar to what you see in Central Park or in Hyde Park? Then what features might we introduce? Sculptures, art forms that are uniquely or peculiar to Hong Kong, like the extensive use of neon. Should we have icons? And I've shown here on the top row, the second and third pictures, are the 140-meter fountain in Geneva that some of you may have seen. Next to that's a 40-meter statue that stands in the middle of the River Spree in Berlin. Along the bottom, just some loose ideas. Should we reestablish a beach? Should we have some sort of swimming facility at Central Waterfront? Picture on the left is from Odaiba in Tokyo. It's in Tokyo Harbor, there's a beach. Picture on the right is one of many swimming pools that you'd find in rivers in Europe that operate during the summertime. Switching to the 70% allocation, and here, if you just look at the, I'm not trying to treat this scientifically, I've just circled some areas where either these high-profile public uses or more commercial uses would be dominant. I was looking at program ideas, and I referred to what I call the foundation, which would be the bulk of the developments of Central Waterfront, buildings and other elements that will form the waterfront cityscape. And just singling out the obvious, low-rise office, residential, and mixed-use buildings, low-rise hotels, public spaces, and transportation and other infrastructure facilities. The point of all this, once we know the elements of the 30%, and once we know the mix of the 70%, we will be prepared to do a great detailed planning exercise. What I've shown here is the work that RTKL and UDPC did during the Design in Hong Kong competition. The next step in my simplified process was to interview potential end users. I've actually had some very interesting conversations. The Hong Kong Academy for the Performing Arts immediately handed me their expansion proposal, and so that became part of my program. Hong Kong Convention Center talked to me about their serious need for additional parking and marshalling facilities. The Maritime Museum expressed strong interest in taking a position on Central Waterfront.
So finally, I recall
this into a preliminary concept and design program. And I focused exclusively on the main on the 30% allocation. I started with four elements that I thought could comprise a good anchor for the waterfront itself that could attract people to the waterfront. Those four are a maritime center, a clock tower plaza that would sit in the midst of a greenbelt style project, a restored Queen's Pier, pretty much in its original location, maybe 20 meters to the north, 30 meters to the north, connected to two arcs of restaurants, similar to what you find in Cockle Bay Wharf, Boat Quay, Clark Quay, and finally a basin that those restaurants would wrap around, similar to what you'd see in Baltimore Harbor Place, Puerto Madero, and Buenos Aires, and other major waterfronts. I've illustrated those, just some casual, early creative illustrations. Said for the Maritime Museum, it could actually incorporate some of the hardware of the working harbor. And I showed a building annex that would be that would comprise a crane with containers. You can see the clock tower put back in the as the centerpiece for a plaza, and Queen's Pier as the connector between two buildings that could house 50 restaurants. I discussed this with restaurateurs at both Lan Kwai Fung Entertainments and Cafe Deco just to get their feedback. They thought this was a tremendously good idea. Looking at some other elements of the 30%, the boulevard that I'd mentioned before, the idea of putting a swimming pool or a beach on the military pier, putting some icons at either end of the waterfront to draw traffic up and down the waterfront. And then you can see on the side, I also talked to the university about a suitable name, saying it'd be preferable if instead of having something like an English name, if we could come up with a simple Chinese name. I just came up with, for a working name, Taiping On, which I probably mispronounced, but that was provided by the university, just mirroring the term for the peak. Some other ideas. Obviously, a promenade has been discussed quite a bit. I actually favor, this is the part of this proposal that I think is the most interesting in terms of program ideas, and what we refer to as an arboretum walk, to go out and create a collection of great trees that winds through the cityscape, winds through the buildings that comprise the majority of the development, and really make Hong Kong a place that stands out. If any of you have ever visited the Arboretum in San Francisco, or seen parts of the Sydney Botanical Gardens or some of the botanical gardens in London, you may know what I'm talking about. Just creating something that over time would feature some extremely large trees, very impressive, be the sort of thing that people would come and visit Hong Kong to see. I also showed the expanded HKAPA, a festival park, and underneath the festival park, we put in, I think it was about 1,500 parking spaces and a marshalling area for the trucks that would serve the convention center. I live at Convention Plaza next to the Grand Hyatt, and there are many times when I go out on Fenwick Pier Street and see, or past the Tamar site and see literally, I don't know the exact count, but I'll say hundreds of trucks waiting to come in for the major expositions and conventions. So, had I been paying my team's architects, RTKL and UDPC, I'm sure they would have followed every bit of advice that I'd laid out in this program. As it was, we had little time to collaborate during the competition. Here is what they took some of the elements that I proposed and worked them into the plan and recommendations on the zoning. And in the end, their images certainly captured the spirit of what all of us had in mind, which is a great urban waterfront that could rival the best in the world. Not all the buildings are exactly as I would specify them, but again, this was a quick exercise, thanks to the to Design Hong Kong for affording us this opportunity to actually show some ideas. Finally, to turn to the proposal, I threw in something here. I don't know if any of you have seen this before, but there's a problem some business professors use to get their students thinking. The question is, can you connect these dots with a single line with no more than four segments? Have any of you seen this before? Okay, so you know the trick. I won't pause while the others try and puzzle it out, but yes, you can if you think outside the box. And coincidentally, the Hong Kong Arts Center uses this as their logo. You can see it, that the box is essentially the nine dots. If you sit there and try and put the line in without going outside the box, you can't succeed. So why do I note this? I know a lot in my field of expertise. I know how to do benchmarking studies and how to develop concepts for mixed use and retail projects, but I know very little about the planning process in Hong Kong. So this is something that I ran with my first editorial, my vision of how this might take place. I think a project of central waterfront scale and importance is extremely unusual, and I wrote that in my first editorial. You know, I felt sympathy for the planning department as it advanced with its ideas. At the same time, I said, this is a case where we cannot do business as usual. We have to think outside the box. And all the time, we need to remember what's at stake. There's a great opportunity. When I look out my window and look at the harbor front, that's the main reason I'm here. I've told Paul Zimmerman before, I look out my window every day at Central Waterfront, and I wonder what it could become. And I know projects from around the world, so I came to care about it. So there's a tremendous opportunity. At the same time, there's a real threat. The image on the right is a recent ad that I pulled out of a Time magazine, where Singapore, with Clarke Quay, that's a picture of Clarke Quay, is marketing itself as a place where people can go and have fun. They can go and do business, they can live there, and they can enjoy all these amenities, many of which are lined up on the Singapore River. So the statement I put in one of my editorials was, what we build will stand as a measure of our society's creativity and competence at a time when both matter to our city's competitiveness. I know this is a lot of editorializing, but again, I'm not exactly sure where my contribution fits in the process. But here were my recommendations again, and I've fleshed them out a little bit here, but you'll see I refer to things like authorities and leadership. I really don't know where this fits. These are more ideas. But I said to, first they should commit, we should commit and organize to fix the process. We should, and here I thought of the government, should acknowledge the distinction between concept and design, determine that it hasn't done a concept, and move backwards and do that before they move forward with the design. The recent news that the government was developing two designs was unwelcome news for me. It just meant the cart was moving farther ahead of the horse, that there was more that would have to be turned back. Second is that the authorities select a small team of social and business leaders to oversee the task of developing a commercial concept for Central Waterfront. That we provide authority for the hiring or contracting of a small staff to drive the day-to-day work. Next, that the authorities give the waterfront a temporary name, Central Waterfront. I say this because I noticed that the Kowloon Cultural District, the West Kowloon Cultural District, gets a lot of attention and is always mentioned and seems to dominate the thinking. My thought is that Central Waterfront's considerably more important to the future of Hong Kong than West Kowloon. Leadership, that this small team prepare and submit a plan, timetable, and budget and win approval of that, and that when prepared, they publicize the effort. My second recommendation is that we adopt a blueprint for the entire harbor. And here I said that the authorities should run an exercise to define what goes where, and that the leadership of the Central Waterfront should tentatively adopt the hypothesis that Central Waterfront will be our answer to South Bank, Docklands, Darling Harbor, Harbor Place, a cosmopolitan urban district that extends the city's energy to the water's edge. In saying this, I was essentially surrendering on the point that it would compete against West Kowloon for cultural and entertainment venues. I'm not sure that that should be the case, but that's how I wrote it up at this point. My third recommendation, again, this 30% allocation, that the leadership, the Central Waterfront leadership, select and task a small blue ribbon creative panel, leaders who possess the vision, experience, and relationships to engage the arts, culture, and business communities to produce an outstanding scheme for all public uses, retail, attractions, museums, venues and public spaces, and that the leadership organize a collaboration between that panel and the planners working on the remaining 70% of the total development. The second part of that, the 70%, that the leadership work with the planning department and property consultants to define the optimal mix of office, residential, and hotel uses, and additionally to document all infrastructure requirements, and that the leadership then work with that team, with the Blue Ribbon Creative Panel and a strong team of urban planners to put all this together into a solution that I've described as a 1+1=3. And then I had three other recommendations that I've covered before. One is to encourage a wide variety of local and international developers to compete to build innovative, world-class, low-rise buildings by master planning a large number of development parcels and establishing high standards for design and sustainability. Benchmarks that we avoid reinventing the wheel by contracting the production of a comprehensive and detailed benchmark study of such leading urban waterfronts as Sydney and Melbourne, Cape Town, London, and Liverpool. And finally, that we avoid reinventing the wheel and take lessons from others' experience by sending a team to meet with major waterfront authorities such as the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority, the Victoria and Alfred Waterfront Company in Cape Town, and Hamburg Hafen City. There's just a list of my proposals. And finally, I just closed with something I'd written in my first editorial, which is that we have a great opportunity, but to realize that opportunity successfully, we need to start by answering the question, what concept do we want? If we do that, then we can proceed into a great design and get a great waterfront. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Groves, for a very good overview of the concept and for sharing your experience and recommendation and proposal with us. Paul, before you came in, we sort of report back that to the HCC that you'll be taking over from Hardy as a representative of the Society for Protection of Harbour from March. And we also thank Hardy for his past contribution. And we also mentioned that you arrange for presentation or an overview of the four the groups or the winning teams of this essential waterfront design competition that you organized earlier. So we have a bit of time to see whether members would have any questions or comments, feedback to Mr. Groves' presentation, briefing. Yes,
When you list the list of Baltimore, Darling Harbour, Cockle Bay, and South Bank, and Hamburg, Hafen City, I'm aware that that's all using existing buildings, existing structures. So the urban fabric is already somewhat predetermined by the existing properties. So one of the challenges we have here is that we've got bare land, although it's somewhat defined by the road infrastructure that has been predetermining the shape of the land that is available, but we've got some bare land. So is that creating additional challenges or creating additional opportunities for your...
I think it certainly creates additional challenges. I mean, if you look at Hamburg, which is now in the midst of redeveloping Hamburg Hafen City, they've got these historic, as in many cases, they have these historic warehouse structures that create a framework, that create an attraction. It's the same, I think it's the same impulse that we see in Hong Kong where people want to see Queen's Pier restored. They want to see something other than new buildings. They want some connection to the past. So yes, I think it's very much part of the problem. If I look at the list, if I think here for a minute, there are some waterfronts that have been developed on reclaimed land. Odaiba in Tokyo, which isn't very good, is a very large reclamation site. Yokohama has a lot of development on a reclamation site. And I'm sure there are a couple of others if I think about it. So it's not, this wouldn't be a unique case, but it's certainly much more challenging, I think, because people look at the project and it's a blank sheet. It's harder to sit and write something on a blank sheet usually than it is to edit something.
Further questions? Yes, Carl.
I just wanted to clarify first before I ask some questions. Actually, I have a lot of questions, but I won't ask a lot of questions. Just have one or two. So I'd like you to clarify. You come here just to introduce the proper approach, the process that we should come up with some sort of design for the harbourfront, isn't it? It's not you don't have any specific design, recommended design, isn't it?
Yes and no. Yes, I'm looking for ways to contribute to this process, as I said, and I'm not that clear. I've talked to Paul and others before, looking for ways to actually contribute the view that the government should not be advancing design. It should be turning backwards and getting a very clear understanding of the concept before it advances. There is certainly work that I can propose, and there are ideas I can propose, but I'm not sure that anybody would care to look at them. Yeah, it's effectively what I showed you here, to me, is a better scheme than other schemes that were part of the competition, because I actually know what animates a waterfront. In most cases, it's a collection of restaurants.
Okay. So two specific questions that I would like to ask is one. Of course, I like the idea that it should be concept-driven and we have a proper process to come up with a proper models. And apart from the concept, of course, I don't know what do you mean by concept. I don't know about the theoretical underpinning of your concept. You haven't mentioned it throughout the process. But you mentioned a lot of things about the benchmarking, and then you cite a lot of examples. And so we need to reconcile between the concept and benchmarking. So you cite a lot of good cases, good practices. Some may be relevant, some may not be relevant. Anything we can learn from this benchmarking, any parameter you have come up with this kind of a lot of benchmarking things, how should we come up with? Because benchmarking may not lead us to anywhere if we don't have a clear concept about what should we learn from this benchmarking. And also, at the end of the process, when we come up with a design, this is the question, how should we evaluate that the end product meet with our expectation? And I think we need to have a set of criteria for evaluating this. Yeah. I don't know how you derive these two from the original concept, because it seems to me that the concept...
Let me see if I can clarify. And first, I should apologize again. I put an awful lot of material in this and presented it to you on very large, small screens and very short... in a very short period of time. I'm describing a pre-development planning sequence in my remarks, where one has a hypothesis. Developers have hypotheses. You know, if the planning department goes out with a one-hectare site and shows it to the development community, the companies that are in the development business, they'll have ideas about what they want to do there. They may turn to other projects and benchmark. They may look for ideas from other projects rather than invent the wheel themselves. At some point, though, they've got to come up with a commercial concept. They have to say, we're going to develop X square meters of space. Our target market, our end users are the following. We're going to generate a certain amount of revenue from that. It's going to cost us a certain amount to build. That's what I'm referring to as the commercial concept. From that would come what I refer to as a design program, where the developers specify to the architects that will work on the project, we need X square meters. It's very critical in the shopping center business to get that right. I have to actually go out and talk to anchors like department stores and movie theaters, find out exactly what they're looking for, and boil that down into a program of specifications before the architects work on it. Otherwise, you can end up with a project that just doesn't work. So at that point, you're prepared to actually solicit proposals from architects and proceed into design, into concept design, schematic design, design development, and construction documentation, and then actually proceed into construction. So that's the process that I'm trying to propose. I think that the planning department, as Paul suggested, faces a very, very challenging problem because they have this strategically important site that's very large, and it's a blank sheet of paper. So what I've said is try and break this problem down in certain ways. Try and get certain groups to work on parts of the problem and put them in the proper sequence. Don't let the designers proceed with it. Don't let the architecture firms. I love working with architects. Architects are essential. Architects can add enormous value to a project. But someone has to go out before the architects start their work and say, this is what we think we want at Central Waterfront. Do we want museums? No, they're over in West Kowloon. Fine, they're in West Kowloon. Do we want restaurants? Do we want Central Park? You know, there are different opinions, and what I've proposed is that a couple of teams be established. I simply don't know how to make that proposal very specifically because I really don't understand the planning process in Hong Kong.
So I think I would like to go one step further to ask your personal opinion because you are a consultant and you just mentioned that you have pay attention to a harbor and probably got some ideas. So I don't know, but based on the process you provide, I think it's good. It's a nice thing to have a good process, a good concept. But so based on your consultant experience, what sort of theme that our the design of the harbor fund should convey? I mean, and also which audience, who's the most important audience in such kind of design, commercial sector, government, environmental groups, or the general public?
Very good questions. I'm not sure I'll answer them well off the top of my head, but first to the question about the audiences. And this is a hard one, especially given the fact I'm a Gwailo living in Hong Kong, to answer, but I think Central Waterfront should be the cosmopolitan gateway to the city. It should appeal, heaven forbid, to people like me who travel here from great distances and think about conducting business here or living here. Other parts of the harbor, and this is why that second recommendation I said that somebody ought to convene some group to figure out what goes where. I've had discussions with some people about why does West Kowloon see all of the cultural venues? Why are they there? Why aren't some of them in Central? Well, I think it's simply because West Kowloon has gotten ahead of Central Waterfront, and people talk about West Kowloon all the time, and they try and figure out how to solve it so it becomes the hub, the cultural district. But I think it's very important that we think of you asked my opinion. I would see Central Waterfront as this cosmopolitan gateway to our great city that incorporates two things, 30% public attractions, the principal being a collection of restaurants, and maybe something very interesting like a great maritime center, not a maritime museum. I talked to the people at Ocean Park, and I was talking to them about, I said, we should do a great maritime museum, and they said, please, don't say the word museum. No one under the age of 30 will ever want to go there. But we could have a great maritime center. It could have all the features of the museum. It could have the boats. I called the police department. I said, would you mind pulling your speedboats up, the ones that they use to intercept pirates? And just, you know, get a creative process going to envision what could be there. So the 30%, in my mind, you saw it in my program, would be the collection of restaurants centered on Queen's Pier, a restored Queen's Pier, and Star Ferry Clock Tower. There would be, with that, a maritime center, a basin, and all of that would essentially anchor the Central Waterfront so that when somebody gets in a taxi cab and says they know they want to go there, they don't know exactly how to say it. They'd probably say, take me to Queen's Pier. And at that point, they would get dropped off somewhere near the Star Ferry Clock Tower. And they could then go to the Maritime Center. They could take the famous, always recommended ride on the Star Ferry. They could go eat at some of the restaurants, and they could walk along the waterfront through the Arboretum. They could go to the Boulevard. They could go at the far end to hotels. They could go to the Festival Park and the APA. And then the rest of the 70% would be dedicated to a better version of London South Bank. All a live, work, play environment, 24/7, you know, the living city, but done in a manner that we don't have in Hong Kong, low rise, low density.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Thanks for the very interesting presentation. As a research planner, I don't know whether I'm doing an ambitious job, but I want to sort of like put your presentation in a broader picture that I can understand. First of all, I think in terms of the macro context, I have to say that it's actually you know, not very much different from what the government has been proposing, because I think they also want to make the central waterfront as the gateway to Hong Kong. I guess at that level, there's no difference of opinion, and I think that's a very widespread you know, community support to that theme. And also, like in planning, we always have two parts. One is what we call research parts, which is your benchmarking process. We also have a creative part, which is about the design. So again, that's a commonality rather than differences. But I think what I've learned from what you presented is that from a private sector perspective, you know, how can we develop a commercial concept in a plan, which is something new, which I have to say we don't really teach in Chinese school as well. So I learned something very valuable here. And I think the question is, like, for us, the challenge is how can we have an institutional process which combine the statutory planning process that we have, that the government officials know very, you know a lot, which you don't probably know too much, how to include your energy, your dynamic ideas into this process, together with another process that I'm more familiarized with, which is with the civil society. Like Citizen Envisioning at Harbour has organized a workshop. We bring people together. We also develop our concepts, our themes. They may not have your 30 and 70% splits, because they said if they look at the central district, we've got too dense commercial development already. So we don't want another set of commercial development. We want more open spaces, so sort of spaces for the civil society.
Mm-hmm.
So there's difference of opinions. But I think the challenge for Hong Kong, probably not HEC, is that how can we have an institutional process, formal, informal, etc., to bring in the kind of things that you are experts at, like developing a commercial concept in this plan, and the civil society's aspirations together with the existing institutional processes. Then, you know, then perhaps we try to strive for a win-win-win situation, that we'll have a plan which the private sector would think it will work. It's not just broad land use zoning without a soul, because I think that's what you want to strive at, a commercial concept. That means, like, a plan that the market likes and will contribute to its development, to its, you know, friction in a way, and also a plan that the civil society thinks that it addresses their aspirations and their needs. And I think perhaps from my limited perspective is that the current process doesn't allow that space for people to contribute. You know, HEC has tried to expand that space to include those ideas, but when it comes back to the statutory planning process, it's very, it's like a strict jacket. A lot of the things that we want to do cannot be done, and I think that causes a lot of frustration, maybe, you know, from you and also from academics like myself.
Mm-hmm. Any response?
Well, a couple of points. I think The discussion of the shopping center was of particular concern to me, going back quite some time, back when it was described as the ground scraper. And I referenced that in my work at Jones Lang LaSalle, on the dozens and dozens of projects that I encountered, principally in China, I would arrive and the design would have been completed at schematic level. So they've already invested a lot of time, money, and emotion to get to a certain point, and they say, well, how do we make money on this? And we'd say, well, you know, first of all, you've built it twice as big. Things are upside down and backwards. Are you ready to go backwards in the process? And the answer is always no. You know, we can't. No, we've submitted this to the planning authorities. They like it. We can't possibly go backwards. So at that point, you're stuck with a project that doesn't work. So when I looked at the shopping center in particular, and I kept seeing that proceed, and eventually that got knocked out, but I never saw it replaced with anything in particular. So I don't know what process is going on in government with the planning. I don't know what questions they're asking, but I'm saying eventually someone talks to the property consultants and to the developers, and it'd be a shame if what they presented to them at that point, the problem they presented to them, was fundamentally flawed. It'd be much better if they had that engagement early on. And that's what I was trying to do in this process. I went out and I talked to people like the convention center. And I said, "What, you know, I see you're building something here. You're expanding the convention center. What do you need?" I just don't know if that's part of the planning process here. If it's not, then, you know, it didn't appear to be on the shopping center component. If it's not, then that's my suggestion. I just don't quite know how to plug it in. I did say something in this editorial I keep referring to, and this was my view looking at what transpired with West Kowloon. I said, the public is capable of voicing its dislike of a design, but it is not equipped to propose an outstanding alternative. I think there's a little bit of elitism in what I'm proposing, which is that on a project of, again, the planning department faces a very difficult problem here. I think this is a strategic asset for Hong Kong, this waterfront. And so that kind of leads, I would think that would lead the political process towards inclusion. At the same time, to get that asset right, to get that development right, you have to turn to people that are fairly expert at it, and they're going to have to make editorial decisions. To finish with a particular example, in our conversations when we were preparing for the competition, the team I was on kept saying, we need to have bicycle paths at Central Waterfront. I live at Central Waterfront. I'm a cyclist. I've ridden up the peak hundreds of times. And I said, I'm the only person I've ever seen bicycling in Central, ever. So, you know, this doesn't need to be something for everyone. If it does, it's going to be a poor compromise. It needs to be a world-class, I hesitate to use that term, it needs to be a great urban waterfront. But that requires following a process with leaders and with experts and getting to an edited conclusion.
Thank you. Yes, Sheila.
Yes, I would say that perhaps Mr. Guo's suggestions or proposal, in fact, is quite similar to what government has been thinking all along. Well, in fact, on the face of it, you may think that we don't have a clear concept for the whole our central waterfront. But in fact, I must say that it is not. Well, let's look at it from a strategic planning level. Well, we got all our territorial plan and to see, well, what Hong Kong needs in the next 15, 20 years, and all sort of research and study done. And we found that our central waterfront, our central district, our CBD, in fact, is very crucial, very important for our future growth as a city for international trading, finance, and all sorts of business. So first, that's why we have also a positioning of our central area that it needs to sustain our future growth. So a certain commercial uses which could support our business and our financial sector would be important. So that is the very first level. And when I talk about this this first level of strategic plan, I don't mean that while the government officials are sitting there and doing our own research. And through the whole study process, we got pretty good public engagement exercise throughout all past years to get the quite general community consensus on the need for our central area. So that is from the strategic level. Then it comes down to the more district level to see how we plan for the central area. Well, we have a statutory planning system in Hong Kong, and that includes quite broad public engagement process. Apart from the statutory restriction or statutory procedure, that all this plan making got to go for public consultation. In fact, before we start this statutory process, we also have a consultancy study. And then, with a live public consultation back in some 10 or 15 years ago, and we keep on revising those plans. We must say that some of the plans we make 10 or 15 years ago may be outdated today. And that's why, on the basis of this statutory plan, starting from late 2006 and most parts of the 2007, we have been revising our central plan, and we start a major urban design study for the central area. And then we had our public engagement exercise started April, May last year, and inviting the whole community to give us views and suggestions on how we should develop our central area. What could be the preferred type of central hub of France. That exercise was done last year. It lasts for 3 or 4 months public engagement. In fact, we have already collected quite substantial ideas from the from population. And this population, we don't mean it's only the citizen or the resident living in the central. In fact, we cut our net quite wide, considering the whole community, including the property sectors and including some chamber, commerce chamber for overseas countries, the chamber of state and the business chamber of the UK and things like that. So in a way, we are doing something very similar to what you suggest, but in a different process perhaps. And all those things happen in 1 or 2 years up to now. And then after collecting all these views, we also engage our consultants on urban design. Well, to think of them, a general framework for the central. And then that will be a product for our second stage public consultation which will be launched later this year. To let the public know, we got all these general views on how the central should be developed. And ask the consultant to put them into certain practical ways, design ideas and design options, so that the member of the public could visualize what would be the products people could see. That may include commercial office building design, how we design all the green space in central, that also includes some low-rise and low-density type of developments along the waterfront, just to help improve the vibrancy and activity of the central area. So, in fact, what we've been doing is quite similar to what you suggest.
May I ask a question? Is there any place where, in that planning process, where they've actually listed the key elements of the public uses, where they've said, for example, has anyone actually proposed doing a maritime museum or center? Has anyone actually gone out and looked at that?
Well, that's true. Because in all of our public engagement exercise, we invite views from different sectors. That's true. We receive suggestions that people like to have museum, exhibition, gallery, and things like that in the central. And in fact, the APA, the Performance of the Shanghai Extension, in fact, that is the product of a wide consultation. We got their views, and then we found that they want certain extension space. That's why in our subsequent work, we reserve place and other places for all these activities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that all this has been built in our process.
Okay, well, maybe I'm just not familiar enough with the process. My thinking is that if you saw the work that I do when I'm working on
mm-hmm.
the project I showed you in Dubai, that's 1.7 million square meters. So it's a very sizable project.
Mm-hmm.
We went into extensive detail on what each one of the uses would, what size, its positioning, how it was to relate to the rest of the project. We specified all that before we talked to the designers, to the architects, because we wanted to make sure we assessed the architects by their real capabilities, and we didn't want the architects, we wanted to make sure that the architects were doing good work because they've been given the information they required. So my assumption has been, in part, having participated in design in Hong Kong and seen the materials that we provided as the foundation for our work, that there were general descriptions, but that no one had actually sat down and figured out what key attractions were to go into Central Waterfront and what size they were to be and how they might actually fit into the financing scheme and some other important considerations.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, in our study process, while we identify certain key sites in the central, and each individual site, while we would suggest a certain GFA, the gross floor area for that site, but then in terms of use, we adopt a much flexible process. While for sites that are suitable for commercial, we identify commercial. But within that site, it would be up to the property developer to decide on the mixture of retailing, the mixture of a restaurant and office, the split. Then we would let the property developer for them to decide. Because it's under different time frame and under different property cycle. Perhaps a different combination would suit better. So that is the system we work. But and then when you point at some cases in mainland city that there's a tendency to build more than that is the market could consume.
Mm-hmm.
The much huge shopping center which they eventually need to be locked up or whatever things like that. I must say that situation is entirely different from Hong Kong situation.
Mm-hmm.
At least from the strategic level, we have good estimate on the future needs
mm-hmm.
of the space. And then on the plan, really serve different sites. But the timing for releasing this site to the market then will be up to the market to determine. We would not put up too much site in one go and to flip the market, that sort of situation. And well, you've got to believe that in Hong Kong, we always live in a market economy, and the market determines the pace of development. So we just reserve and then we plan all this land on the plan. But actually, taking up of the site for development, we would adopt a more market-driven approach in that sense. So I must say that while we would not see the sort of situation that there would be an overbuilding and then the living shopping centers or office space vacant. Well, in Hong Kong's development history, we don't have that sort of situation, I must say that.
Well, the story about about China isn't so much many of the projects are oversized.
Yeah.
The point I meant to make is that they don't understand the commercial concept.
Mm.
They hire the architect and they build it. There are many projects up there that are undersized that are done backwards. There's just a lot of mistakes made because they really don't understand what they're doing commercially.
Right. But I think in a very mature market economy like Hong Kong, this sort of situation, well, I must say that would be very rare. We seldom overbuild certain commercial users which can't find any user.
No, I would agree with that.
We have had a pretty lively discussion on this presentation. You want to ask the last question? Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. I have two questions for the consultants. One is whether a few large sites versus many small sites will be more conducive or less conducive for a organic and harbourfront development in the way you see it. And my second question to you is, if you say that we need to do concept before design, does the key element of what you call concept, does that include a clear definition of the activities, a clear definition of the end users, and a clear definition of the core elements as being the three critical aspects for concept definition before design starts?
Yes, and on your second question, and those would be summarized really prior to the advance of the design in a design program, which says, we've made our decisions, here's what we think the waterfront should comprise. And it can be flexible. I mean, again, that's why the 30 and 70% were just numbers I took out of the air. I actually looked at, when I was working with RTKL, we looked at the total development allocation for Central Waterfront, and I just started from ground up building the things that I thought we'd require, looking at the restaurants, for example, and I think we put in 30,000 square meters for the restaurants and a certain amount for the Maritime Museum. And we came up to a figure that was, I think, around 30%. But that was strictly an illustrative figure to say there are some things that the waterfront will be known by its public uses, as is always the case. You know, for example, people know Pacific Place by the shopping center. They don't. Most people don't know it from the office buildings or the hotels. Most people don't go up there. They just see that from the outside. It's what I refer to as the public interface. So how will people know Central Waterfront? They'll certainly know it by the public spaces and the parks that are provided by the promenade, but they'll also know it by the retail. They'll know it by the museums. So to recognize the crucial importance of that component and to entrust that to a team of people that can actually engage different parties in the community, not in a public manner, because I don't, the level of importance that this has, you have to have very experienced people talking to other people that understand what they're talking about to get to solutions relatively quickly. I've wandered off your question, but
my first question is the fewer larger sites or many small sites to make sure that it's a vibrant waterfront.
Well, that's just my opinion, is that if the 70% were broken into a lot of development sites, we could see some of the really innovative development that you find around the world. You know, if you look at the South Bank of London, for example, it's got Norman Foster's City Hall. But it just as I look at these projects, like what Dusseldorf has done, what Liverpool is doing, what Hamburg is doing, the cities in Europe, again, as Paul pointed out, in a lot of cases, they have as their foundation some historic warehouse buildings and industrial buildings that give the location a great character. But next to that, you'll have some very striking contemporary buildings. So the thought was that if a large number of sites could be put out there consistent with low-rise, low-density, then we could have a really interesting contrast to the city that stands behind it.
Okay. In the interest of time management, we're going to move on to the next briefing item. We want to thank Mr. Dick Grove again for sharing.
And Matt, please thank you for listening patiently to all these opinions. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks again.